All right, you have your Bibles? Hold them up. Well, Heavenly Father, your word is alive. And Father, once again, we open it because we desire the nuggets, the truths that we find in it. God, we realize that when we open your word and we begin to study it and receive it and put it into practice, God, we see real radical changes happen in our lives, and today is no different. God, we have been studying this book of Romans these last 5 weeks, and today, God, I know that you have a treat for us as we now take it to the next level, and we ask you to teach us from it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we have been in this series, Pathway to Victory. How many of you are experiencing some victories? Anybody victorious? Anybody? All right, three of y'all. Three of us, because I am victorious. I'm victorious over my lack of patience right now. I'm winning. Remember, I told you, and I've said this before, I want to remind you, if I ask everybody the question, define success or define winning in your life, we would all have a different definition. For some of us, it might be a particular social status. If we made a certain amount of money or lived in a certain place or drove a certain car or had a certain watch or certain clothing or something like that, if I could buy clothes at that place, then we might think that we've made it. And Jesus has a completely different ideas when it comes to winning. I want you, as I told you in the beginning, I want you to win with Jesus. I want you to win in your family. I want you to win financially. I want you to win as a parent. I want you to win as an employee. I want you to win as an employer. I want you to win in every area of your life. Why? Just because Pastor Eddie's all about winning? No, I want you to win because that's what Jesus died for. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. Because I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I want a church of abundantly blessed people. And I'm not talking about fake, because I hate fake. I'm talking about legit blessed people. When somebody asks you, because you know you get that church thing going on, you see, brother, how you doing? Blessed. The world's falling apart behind me, but I'm blessed. No, I'm blessed. Because what happens around me is irrelevant to how blessed I am, because I'm blessed because of what Jesus did for me on that cross. Over these last 5 weeks, from the book of Romans, I talked to you about on our pathway to victory that in our path we have a big problem. The big problem is this thing called sin. Sin is always trying to get in the way of our progress. But I want you to know you're the biggest part of the problem, because sin is always wrapped up in self. And then Jesus, seeing our big problem, God provided us this big solution. Jesus, he became our justification, right? Justification just means that he made you righteous. Say, I'm righteous. Well, y'all, a righteous bunch of looking people, I'm telling you. Righteous people. Week number three, I told you that when we come to Jesus and he puts us in this process of righteousness, he then calls us holy. And I asked the question that week, how many of you feel holy? Anybody feel holy? I don't even know what that feels like, but we most of the time we don't feel holy because we base our holiness on our earthly actions and attitudes. And I want you to know that your holiness has nothing to do with your earthly actions or attitudes. Your holiness is there because Jesus put it there. Y'all will get that later. I want you to get it now, though, because I want you to receive that, because when you begin to believe the truth, you begin to walk in it. All right? We're in this big process called sanctification, our holiness. And then in that process, we find ourselves sometimes in a big struggle. You think, well, man, I thought I was holy. I was beginning to believe I was holy, and now I'm struggling again. That never goes away. So if you think one day that'll go away, you got big problems. It's never going to go away. But what God does is he puts his Holy Spirit in you, the big helper, and the big helper is there to help guide you, to lead you, to direct you, to keep you on the straight and narrow, to show you and give you the ability to stand up under these things called temptation. And today, we're going to talk about This is the final sermon in this series in Pathway to Victory, the big response. So Jesus has done all these things for us, and you ever stop and wonder why? Why? Why in the world would you do this? Why would you go to a cross and die for me with this big problem? Why would you consider me righteous and holy? Why would you give me your essence, your Holy Spirit to live in me, this fouled up, messed up human being person? Why would you put your perfect presence in me? You ever wonder those things? I'm often asked the question, God, why? And it's because he loves us and he wants a relationship with us. And then I love what the Apostle Paul does in chapter 12. You can turn, if you have your Bible, to Romans chapter 12. And this is where everything completely flips. It's where the entire book of Romans turns from what Jesus has done and our benefits to following him to what we're to do as a response to what he did. I love what he does. Here's what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore. Now remember, as you've heard me talk about many, many times here, anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you have to ask yourself, what's it there for, right? Well, we just talked about why it's there. It's there to remind you of all the things that Jesus did. Hey, you got a big problem you couldn't do anything about. So I provided your righteousness and holiness and the Holy Spirit to help you along the way. Oh, yeah, those things. Yes, those things. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of all those things he did, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. On the pathway to victory, what should our response be for what Jesus did? I think Paul gives us in those 13 verses that I read to you three titles, and then there are some subtitles. You have them in your notes. And if you're following along, by the way, in the YouVersion Bible app, it's all there for you. Don't forget, that's there every week with the scriptures that are involved as well. On the pathway to victory, what should our response be to God for what Jesus did? The first one is this, we're to live sacrificially. We're to live sacrificially. That means that we're to have a lifestyle of worship. Listen, he said in Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, I implore you, listen, in view of what Jesus has done, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, a lifestyle of worship. Live sacrificially. A lifestyle of worship is not singing a few songs on Sunday morning. We should relabel the entire church service. That's not just worship. This is worship too. You listening to the word, receiving the word of God, that's worship. You agreeing with me, that's worship. Because we're interacting with God. We're interacting with His Word. When we begin to do things that He calls us to do, we are following Jesus. We're worshiping. Listen, worship doesn't happen in that 30 minutes on Sunday morning. And if that's the only worship you got a bigger problem. You don't have enough worship. He said that we're to live sacrificially. You know that we live sacrificially by the things that we do and the things that we say. And listen, let me help you. You say, well, most of the things I say are not very good. Is that we have to begin to think about, are my words life-giving or life-taking? Is the trail that I leave behind a good trail or is it a wake of destruction? By the things I've said. If that's what I'm doing, if I'm leaving a trail of destruction, then I'm not doing a very good job of worshiping my Creator. But if what I leave behind is life, if what I leave behind is life-giving, then what I'll find in and of myself is a lifestyle of worship. I find myself so often throughout my week where I just want to worship. I'll put on worship music for no reason. Like, I just be sitting, I just want to hear some worship music because there's something in me that needs to connect with Jesus, right? It doesn't happen just on Sunday. Let your worship be a lifestyle, not a single act. The second thing that we're to do under this living a lifestyle of worship is that we're to change the things we think about. He tells us in Romans 12:2. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We come to Christ so often, matter of fact, every time someone comes to Christ, we have these old thought patterns and old ways of thinking. You know that those things, they get there over the years and years and years, and sometimes they're conditioned responses. We don't know how to respond any other way. All I know, it's what I've been taught. It was what my parents taught me. It's what their parents taught them. It's part of who we are. And we have to begin to change the things we think about. If you don't ever change the things you think about, you'll always think about the wrong things. Because you know that your thoughts and Jesus' thoughts are not one and the same. They're going to be different. They're going to look different. And so we have to begin to change our thoughts to match His thoughts. The only way that we ever get to experience this good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is to align our thought pattern with His. And we don't get, by the way, and we don't get to bring Him into our thought pattern. Hey, look, come align your will with my thoughts. He's like, no, that doesn't work. I have a will for you, and it's not the one you want. It's the one that I have designed for you. Hebrews 12 calls it the path marked out for you. He has a path marked out for you. And by the way, listen to me, it's a pathway to victory. Amen. You're not winning, maybe you're on the wrong road, you know? Maybe you're on the wrong path. Number three, we can't think too highly or too lowly of ourselves. I corrected that, you saw that? I had that wrong in my notes the other day, my wife corrected. Actually, Carla and my wife corrected me. Romans 12:3, he says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. In order for you to become this living sacrifice, you must understand your value in God's system, in God's eyes. Every one of you has value. Listen, whether you're the CEO of a company or you're the lowest man on the totem pole, in God's eyes, you have the same value. So do not think too highly or too lowly of yourself, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith given each of you, right? And so God sees you and He goes, I love you just like I love him. I love her just like I love. He doesn't, now I told you this. I want you to, you just got to be okay with this. I am His favorite. I mean, as long as you're okay with that, then the rest of it's going to be fine. All right. The second thing that we see in Romans 12 that in our response is B, that we're to begin to serve faithfully. He calls every one of us. Listen to me. If your idea of church is to warm that seat every Sunday, you got church all wrong. Look what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Let me ask you this. Does your finger and your heart do the same thing? Absolutely not, right? They each have a function. So in Christ, we, though we're many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Listen to me. You ever heard Uncle Sam needs you? You know the old finger? Uncle Sam. God needs you. God needs you to participate in his body, the church. He has a specific task and responsibility that's designed for you. You play a vital role in God's plan. He needs you. This is going to get a little heavy for a second. You ever lost a family member before their time? There's a hole, right? There's a hole because only they could fill that hole. You know, it's like that in the body of Christ. When God calls you and sets you apart and gifts you and puts you in his body, there's a specific role and responsibility that only you can fill. And when you're not doing it, there's a hole. Now, somebody else may step up, and that's the beauty of the body of Christ. Somebody else may step in and do, but I want you to know, you won't be fulfilled and the church won't be complete until you find your place. There's a place for every one of us. And I tell people, I'm just not sure yet, not sure where I fit yet. You know what? Then find some place. And if it's not that place, we'll move on to the next place. And we'll just keep moving you around until you find the place. And when you find the place, then church takes on a whole different meaning. You come to church and you're like, I can't wait to go to church. I've been feeling like that for 20 years. I can't wait to go to church. I wish the rest of y'all felt like that. Listen, you know, your gift is important to others. Romans 12:6 says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Listen, so often we look at our gifts and we want to compare our gifts to other people's gifts. Well, I can't talk in front of people. I can't do like Pastor. I can't sing like Carla. I can't sing like Kevin. You know how often I wanted that gift? God didn't bless me with that gift. I've often asked why. Well, Jesus, I just don't understand why. He said, because your head would get too big. Just be real. I mean, look at me. I can sing, you know. Now that it doesn't matter that we don't have the same gift because your gift is just as important as mine. I've told this story before. I had a friend when I was in the 7th or 8th grade, and it was summertime, and he was cutting his parents' grass barefoot. I don't know why you'd ever cut your grass barefoot, by the way, but anyway. And he was backing up with the lawnmower, and he pulled it over his foot, and he chopped off his big toe. Do you know my friend in the 8th grade had to go to rehab to learn how to walk all over again because your big toe creates balance in your body. I know it's just one little toe. I mean, for crying out loud, you don't hold anything with it. It's just stick it in a shoe. I mean, right? I mean, he had to learn to walk again. I want you to know somebody's a big toe in here, and we're out of balance. Look at your neighbor. Say you might be the big toe. Look what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15, he said, now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, then where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? In other words, every gift matters and every gift is important and vital. Doesn't matter what it is, use it for his glory. That's why it's there. Find your place. And the third thing that we're to do is, in response to what Jesus has done, is we're to love unconditionally. How do you love unconditionally? Well, the first thing we do is we look for the good in others. Look what he says in verse 9 of Romans chapter 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Listen, you know, so often, and I've seen this in church people, we're always looking for the negatives. We're always trying to find the negatives in people. I want you to know, you start looking for the negatives in people, you know what? You'll only see the negatives. How many married people in here? Let me give you a marriage tip. You start looking at your spouse's only negative things, and they do have some. But if that's all you focus on, guess what? That's all you're going to see. And it won't be long where you'll be like, I don't even like him anymore. Like, I mean, everything he does is getting on my last nerve. I've seen, and this would happen, you'd be coming to me going, I have fallen out of love. No, you didn't. You just start focusing on the wrong things. We got to focus on, he said, cling to what is good. That this love we're talking about, we have to love unconditionally. I love her unconditionally. Does she deserve it? I don't know. We have to overlook. Let's make this more than it is. Y'all get me in trouble. I'm going on vacation. Come on. I want a good vacation. Come on. Y'all gonna mess me all up now. We all have shortcomings. Quit focusing on the shortcomings and start looking for the positive thing. You know, I heard a preacher one time say, ladies, if you don't have the husband that you want, then just start finding the one thing he does good and speak it over him. You know, if your husband just gets out of bed every morning and sits on it, then you're the best getter-upper in the morning. I mean, it's like you just start speaking that over him. That dude will be jumping out of bed in the morning. Look at me go, baby. I'm doing it again. You know, listen, you don't like the way he cuts the grass? Just go say, look, honey, the grass looks like a golf course. You just do that. You do that grass so good, you'd be out there every day cutting the grass. Trust what I'm telling you. Men love to be praised. You know, love never focuses on shortcomings. Love only focuses on the good things. And that's what makes love love. You know, for centuries, the world has had this perception. It's probably not a perception. It's probably the truth. But they said that the church is always talking about the things that we're against. We're against these people. We're against those people. Against this. I want you to know that the church isn't really against anything. We're for everything. Because Jesus is for everybody. And Jesus is for everything. And so we got to quit labeling people based on what they do or what they say. And just start loving people where they are. What if we start receiving people where they are? I don't know. I want a church full of sinners. I'm looking at them right now. I'm just telling you. Acceptance, forgiveness, love. That's what Jesus is all about, right? The second thing we're to do is we're to honor others if we're going to love unconditionally. We must honor others. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to give honor where honor is due. There's certain, I talked about this in a sermon not too long ago. There's certain positions, certain titles within our lives that we are to give honor to. Whether they deserve it in your eyes or not, we're to give honor to our mothers and fathers, regardless of how they treated you growing up. Get over your past and move on. Just honor them for the position they hold. Mother, father, I'm going to honor you for who you are. You let God deal with the rest, right? We honor position, people in positions of leadership. If there's a manager or a title above you, you honor that person because they hold the position of leadership. We honor political figures, whether you agree with their politics or not, because that's what the Bible says we're to do. We're to fear God and honor the king. That's what it says. We're to honor pastors and leaders. Right? Just saying. That's what it says. Number three, and we can't be swayed. If we're going to love unconditionally, we can't be swayed by our circumstances. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. But here in verse 12, Paul's saying that on our pathway to victory, there are going to be circumstances that are going to attempt to get us off track. And Paul says, as we wait on God, keep your joy. As we are being persecuted by others, by life, when tough times are abundant, be as patient as you wait on God's deliverance. And along the way, never stop praying. Never stop connecting with God. Listen, you want to love unconditionally? You better connect with God daily, because he's the only one that can teach you how to love unconditionally. Because the world will never show you how to love unconditionally. And number four, we need to welcome others into God's family. Listen, we need to be the most welcoming place on the planet. When people walk in this door, regardless of where they came from, regardless of their skin color, regardless of their socioeconomic status, we should be like this. because Jesus is like this. We need to practice hospitality. Welcome people into the family of God. Listen, they're all around you, folks. This world around you is dying and going to hell. We need to be like this. Come on. I want you to get with me and start welcoming the people around you who don't know Jesus and introduce them to the most important relationship that you could have. Come on. On our pathway to victory, what should our response be? To live sacrificially, to serve faithfully, and to love unconditionally. Would you stand with me? So I'm talking to the church this morning. I'm talking to the people of God, the sons and the daughters. And I'm asking you this morning as we wrap up this message series. So, you know, I'm so thankful for what Jesus did. But I haven't yet found my place. And I'm ready to find my place. I'm ready to find my place within his body. I'm ready to begin to serve faithfully. I'm ready to begin to live sacrificially. And I'm ready to begin to love unconditionally. If that's you, I just want to love somebody unconditionally. Might start right in your own household. Might start with your husband, with your wife. It could, I'm just saying. Might start with your kids. Maybe you've got a kid pressing on your last nerve. You just need to begin to overlook their shortcomings and start loving them right where they're at. If that's you, I want you to come join me. I want to pray for you this morning. You're ready to give something back. You say, I want to be just like Jesus this morning. Would you say that God is good?
Yes.
All the time. Well, Heavenly Father, we see a group of people standing here at this altar who have just agreed with your word, not with me, with your word, to live sacrificially, to serve faithfully, and to love unconditionally. And my prayer, Heavenly Father, is your filling of your Holy Spirit to empower us to do what you've called us to do. We know and realize that living a sacrificial life for Jesus is tough. We realize that serving people who don't care and could care less about us serving them, God, but I pray today, God, we serve and we serve with the right attitude and with the right heart. And God, I pray that we begin to love somebody who doesn't deserve to be loved. And we just love them because that's what you've called us to do. And I pray, God, as we connect with you, as we press into your spirit, we begin to love people like you love people. And they'll be drawn to you because of the love that we have shown them by our actions and by our attitude. And God, if it has to start in our own households, let it start there first. God, let it start in our neighborhoods and in our state and in our nation, God. Let this nation come together, God. I am so tired of hearing about all the division in our country, about all the division in racism and division in politics. God, what if we could all just come together, one nation under God, indivisible? Yes, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Thank you for your word and the truth therein. And we pray, God, a blessing, an empowerment by your spirit over these people who have decided they want to walk with you. Live like you, live for you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.